Take your Bible and turn to Daniel chapter 12 tonight, Daniel chapter 12. And we are studying the book of Daniel. We're coming to the end of Daniel, but we're not going to be able to end it, I don't think, in one message. We have a final message, but it may take us more than 1 week to finish. But we're coming to the end of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes these words, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up." And so forth. Now, is it the time right now to sing Christmas carols? Is it a time right now to buy Christmas presents? Is it a time? Well, maybe it is. Is it a time right now to decorate the house or the church in anticipation of the Christmas season? It just doesn't seem like this is the time for it, does it? You just really don't get into it. It wouldn't really be appropriate, would it, if we talk all about Christmas, a Christmas party and a Christmas decoration and Christmas presents and all of that stuff. You just really wouldn't get into it. But wait a minute now. What if we just advance the clock forward 4 months from today? 4 months from today, it would be December the 6th. And guess what? All of those things would fit right in, wouldn't they? They would fit right in. It would be a time for that. Now, just recently, we just had a wedding. How many of you were at the wedding? Well, we had a good time with that wedding, and we have another wedding coming up Saturday. Those that are going to travel up there, we have another wedding. And right now, it seems to be a time for weddings. And it's appropriate to right now because people are getting married in our church. But wait a minute, there will be a time somewhere in the future when we will be involved, in a funeral. Somebody's funeral, some loved one's funeral. And that won't be like a wedding, although people will get together and that'll be a sadder occasion, but there will be a time for that. In other words, timing is everything. Timing is everything. And that's what we want to look at tonight in Daniel chapter 12. In the book of Daniel, timing is everything. As we come to the end of Daniel, Daniel is told that he can't be expected to understand the end of his own prophecy because timing is everything. Did you hear what I just said? Daniel is told at the end of Daniel, he's anxious to understand his own prophecy, and he's told that you can't really understand fully the end of your own prophecy because of the fact that timing is everything. It's not the time for that, Daniel. Now, you're going to benefit us, Daniel. You're going to benefit people in that day, but you yourself aren't going to really understand fully your own prophecy. In fact, look what it says in verse 8 and 9 of Daniel chapter 12. It tells us that. Look at 8 and 9. It says there, "And I heard, but I understood not. And then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." Now what's he saying there? Daniel, timing is everything. You're not going to understand right now the end of your own prophecy. The words are sealed up, and they're closed to the time of the end. Now, that means God's going to preserve these words. They're not going to be lost. And thank God the Bible is not lost. The Scripture is not lost. God has preserved His Word for us. We have the Word of God today. All these many years, almost 2,500 years after Daniel wrote these words, we still have them today because God has preserved His Word for us. And Daniel has promised that God will do that. But God also says, listen, you won't really have understanding of these things until you come to that end time, Daniel. You've got to come to that end time. And so timing is everything. And that's what we want to look at tonight. Number one, because God's plan for His chosen people is right on schedule. And I want you to look, first of all, at verse number 5 of Daniel 12 and verse number 6. It says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river." Now, we'll look at that in just a moment, but God says that everything with God is right on schedule. Timing is everything because God does everything on schedule. Now, one of the guys tell me, what is the theme of the book of Daniel? It is the what of God. The blank of God. Joe?
The timing,
Well, it deals with the timing, but it's more something else when it comes to the theme of Daniel. The timing is just part of that. It is the sovereignty of God. That God is in control of everything. Something you might think is an accident in your life is no accident. God had a plan for it and God had a purpose for it. And in Daniel chapter 1 and through Daniel chapter 7, God shows that he is sovereign over what? What is God sovereign over in the first seven chapters of Daniel? Yes.
Gentiles.
Very good, Joe. The Gentile nations. You all should know that by now, but Joe got it. The Gentile nations. Because remember, the times of the Gentiles began in 606, 605 BC, and Israel was taken captive, and then the southern kingdom was taken captive, and their temple was razed to the ground, and God said, even when this is happening, I'm still in control. I don't care how bad things are happening. I don't care if physical problems are happening in your life. I don't care if divorce is happening or whatever's happening. God is still on the throne. He's in control. And that's what he says in Daniel chapter 1 through 7. And then in chapters 8 through 12, he shows that he's sovereign over his chosen nation of Israel. That God has a plan and he's working that plan out. And listen to me, everything is done on schedule with God. Timing is everything and God is right on schedule. And in Daniel chapter 12, we look at the time of Israel's purification. Now listen to me. God is going to purify his people. If somebody is belonging to God, if you are saved and you belong to God, let me just tell you something. God will make sure that you purify the sin out of your life. He won't allow it. By the way, in the New Testament church, people are involved in sin in the New Testament church. And what happened when they didn't repent of that sin? One of the guys tell me, what happened in the New Testament church when somebody's involved in willful sin and does not repent of that sin? What happens in the New Testament church? What does God do? One of the men. Yes.
They're chastened.
They're chastened. And that is called what? What's the name of that, Brother Joe, when they're chastened? That's called church discipline. And they can no longer take the Lord's table. They can't attend the services until they truly repent and are restored to a purified walk with God. And you see, God is holy. That's why. That's in the Bible. And if you're a child of God, God says, listen, be ye holy as I'm holy. And if we think we can play with a holy God, the Bible says God's not mocked. He won't allow that. And it's the same thing in the Old Testament. And so God says to his people Israel, he said that I'm right on schedule and I am going to purify you. And the time of Israel's purification is going to take place. And God told Daniel that it's going to continue now for a long time, that God will have to chasten his people until they get purified. And he said there will be, in Daniel chapter 9, he said there will be 70 times 7 years that God will still have to deal with Israel under the Old Testament covenant of the law, and he will have to purify them for 490 years. And God speaks about that. Now, I want you to look at Daniel chapter 12 and look at verse 6. It said, we looked at verse 5, look at verse 6. It says, and one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? In other words, you had two angels, one on one side of the Tigris River and the other on the other side of the Tigris River. By the way, the Tigris and Euphrates River are right in modern day Iraq. And an angel was on each side of the river. And then in the middle of the river was this individual, this man clothed in linen. We're going to talk about him in just a moment. And the angel asked this man in the middle of the river, when would be the end of these wonders? And then the man in the middle of the river explains, when will be the end of these wonders. But now listen to me. In Daniel's day, Daniel was told to look ahead to the beginning of a decree to rebuild Jerusalem, and he said that 70 times seven years before God was done chastening Israel from this decree to rebuild Jerusalem. When did that decree take place? It was in 445 BC. And then God said that that thing would go on for 483 years until Messiah would come. Now, when Messiah came the first time, the Bible says in Daniel 9, what would happen to the Messiah? When he came the first time, what would happen to him? One of the men, tell me. Would he be accepted? Would his kingdom come? Would Israel be given peace and prosperity? What would happen? David?
He would be mocked and crucified.
Yes, he would be rejected. And that actually happened, according to the Bible, on April 6th, 32 AD. Robert Anderson studied these dates and gave April the 6th, 32 AD, that Christ came into Jerusalem to present himself as the Messiah to the Jewish people, and they rejected him, and he was rejected, and God said, okay, now I'm going to stop the time clock. And it's only 483 years have been accomplished, and the total is 490 years that needs to be accomplished. And so seven more years need to take place before Israel can see their kingdom come to this earth and until they have the blessings of God again. And they have to wait seven more years. Now, at April the 6th, 32 AD, were those 7 years fulfilled right after that? Yes or no? How many say no? You're right, they weren't. How do we know? Because in AD 39 AD, you would have had the kingdom of God set up and the Lord would have reigned as king if that were the case. It didn't happen. In other words, listen to me. When Israel rejected Jesus Christ and didn't accept him, that stopped the time clock for the kingdom of God on earth. And God said, nope, you still have to be chastened. You still have to be punished. You still have to be purified. Listen to me, so that you will accept your Messiah as Savior. You see, sometimes we sin against God, and what happens? God lets us get into a snare of the devil. What's the snare of the devil? The snare of the devil is when you willfully get into sin and you break the standards that are preached in the Word of God and you get into sin and you choose to get into sin and you say, oh, I like this sin. I'm having pleasure in this sin. God says, okay, now I'm going to let you be snared in that sin so you won't be able to get out of it. You're going to be snared. And every time the devil wants you to do that sin, he'll just pull you right back down into it. Might be drugs, might be immorality, might be gossip, slander, whatever it is, you're hooked into that. You just stay in that thing. And God says, until you are chastened so that you're broken and God gives you repentance, you're going to be hung up in that sin. And that's what God said to Israel. He said, you rejected the Word of God, and then you rejected Jesus Christ, and now you've got seven more years left to be chastened. But it didn't happen right after AD 32 because the kingdom of God didn't happen 7 years later. In fact, in 70 AD, the kingdom of Israel was defeated by the Romans. Their temple was destroyed and they were scattered out of their land. And so no way has the kingdom of God been able to come because Israel's not even in their land for all these many years. And God said it has to wait for seven more years. And then the kingdom of God will be established on earth and Israel will be purified. Listen to me, God is right on schedule. You're here tonight for a reason. You're hearing the Word of God for a reason tonight. God is right on schedule with everything He does, and sometimes it takes a lot of difficulty and pain before a person is ready to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And sometimes, even a child of God, it takes some pain, it takes some chastening before that person is ready to repent and come back to the Lord and put the Lord as first place in their life again and get rid of the idols in their life. Sometimes, and maybe you're there tonight as a Christian, you've sinned and you've gotten into a snare and you're not walking in close fellowship with the Lord. But God is right on schedule. He knows what He's doing with us when He chastens us. And so the Bible says that there is a 7-year period of time that is yet to come when Israel is going to be purified. And that time period begins, listen to me, in Daniel chapter 9, it begins with a covenant that Israel will make with the Jewish Antichrist will make that with the Roman beast, and that covenant will allow Israel to have their temple worship restored. They'll be able to go up on the Temple Mount. They'll be able to do their sacrifices again. They'll be able to live under the Old Testament law of God. And that is the covenant that will be reconfirmed for 1 7-year period. And during that 7-year period, God is going to chasten Israel. God is going to purify Israel. Let me ask you that question. Has that happened yet? Have we entered into those last 7 years? Has Israel made that agreement that allows them to rebuild their temple and restore their sacrifices? Has that happened yet, Joe?
No, not yet.
No. You should hear about it in the news when it happens.
But it's close.
It's been getting close. I'll tell you when this modern peace movement started in Israel. It started in Madrid, Spain in 1991. And then an agreement was signed by Yitzhak Rabin with Yasser Arafat and Bill Clinton on the White House lawn in 1993, Declaration of Principles. But then they didn't settle the Jerusalem problem. They didn't settle the right of return for the Palestinians, and they had some other sticking points. And so just at the end of Clinton's presidency, he tried to get them together in the year 2000, and he got them together in the year 2000. And this time it was Ehud Barak of Israel and Yasser Arafat. And just about the time he thought he could get them together to make peace, Arafat walked out. And he called Clinton a great man. And Clinton said, no, I'm not a great man. You kept me from being a great man because you kept me from making peace with Israel. That was in the year 2000. They have not had face-to-face talks. Listen to me. They've not had face-to-face talks between Israel and the Palestinians since the year 2000 until last November in Annapolis, Maryland in 2007. After 7 years now, they began face-to-face talks, and they're still doing it. And President Bush said he hopes to have an agreement before he leaves office. Will he do it? I don't think so, but he's trying. When an agreement, listen to me, is signed between Israel and the Palestinians, and that allows and is sanctioned by the European Union and the leadership of the European Union, that allows Israel to go up on their Temple Mount and start again the sacrifices of their Mosaic law. They've not lived under those sacrifices since what year? When did their temple worship stop? Somebody tell me, one of the men. Anybody know the year it was stopped? They have not had the right and the opportunity to have regular temple worship since what year? Yes.
Yes, A.D. 70.
That's a right guess. A.D. 70. Listen to me. In my lifetime, in your lifetime, when you hear that they could go on their mount and they're given a 7-year agreement that they could go up and use the Temple Mount to reestablish their sacrifice, rebuild their temple, you know that's the last 7 years, the countdown until Armageddon. And President Bush is talking about it happening this year, although I don't necessarily think that will happen. Doesn't look like it to me. But it's moving forward since 1991. I'm saying to you tonight, God is on schedule. And you see, Daniel didn't understand these things, but timing is everything, because God's plan for his people is right on schedule. And God told Daniel, Daniel, you're not going to understand these things, but the people that are at the end, they will understand these things. Now, do you know why we understand these things? Well, number one, because Daniel was before Christ came the first time. We look back and we've seen Christ come. We've seen he was rejected by the Jews. We've seen God judge the nation of Israel. And he put blindness on the nation so that most Jews now reject Jesus as the Messiah. That's a judgment of God. We can look back at that. We also have, listen, we also have the writings of the New Testament and all the prophecies of the New Testament that go with Daniel. And we have the last book of the Bible, which is the book of Revelation, that goes with Daniel. And it fills in and really makes clear the things that are presented in seed form in Daniel. Now they come to fruition in Revelation. So we have an opportunity to really see it clearly. But wait a minute. For hundreds and hundreds of years after John wrote Revelation, did the Christians really understand the book of Revelation? At the very beginning they did, but afterward they lost it. They didn't understand it. And why? Because listen, God has been preparing us to understand this book of Revelation, those of us who are going to live during the time of the end. And so, right now, God is giving people an understanding of the book of Revelation and giving them an understanding of Daniel. And because travel is greatly increased, Daniel 12:4, and people can go back and forth through the internet, through the written word, through the printed word, they can get all this teaching back and forth very quickly. Now knowledge of the end time events is become very, very clear to God's people. And God's right on schedule. He's provided that for us so that we can understand the time of the end. But I want you to notice verse 7. Look at Daniel 12, verse 7. Real quickly it says, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half time, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Daniel's saying, when's the end? And an angel asked the man in the river, and the man is standing on the waters of the river, and his hands are held up to heaven. And he says it's going to be a time and times and a half time. Now, if you look at the book of Revelation, where that phrase is used, does anybody know what period of time that refers to in terms of years? A time, a times, and a half time. It is used in Revelation. It's a specific amount of time. How much time is that?
Let me guess, the tribulation? Three and a half.
It's 3.5 years. It's 3.5 years. Now, if you go to Revelation chapter 10, you find out who this man is that's got his hand stretched up. And the angels are talking to him. It's the same one that Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 10 at the beginning of this revelation that he just received, this final revelation. Same man in linen. Two angels with him and this man now in Daniel 12. Remember when Abraham had three visitors? Two of them were angels. Who was the third?
Jesus.
Yeah, the Lord. This is the Lord. See, if you read Revelation 10, it's the same description of a mighty angel that had one foot in the sea and one foot on the land that came at the end of the 70th week of Daniel. And he's claiming the earth. That's Jesus come back to the earth. And so you see, here he is saying to Daniel, in the context of Daniel chapter 12, if you look at verse 1 of Daniel chapter 12, Michael is in heaven fighting Satan, and he defeats Satan, and Satan is thrown out of heaven, and Michael does not follow him to the earth, but Satan comes to the earth. What period of time is that when Satan and his angels are finally thrown out of heaven? He's not thrown out of heaven today. It's something that's going to happen in the future. When, according to Daniel 12:1, is that time when Satan is thrown out of heaven? Where is that in terms of the 7 years? Where does that fall? One of the men, quickly. Daniel 12:1, where does that fall? Yes.
At the end of the 7 years.
No, not at the end of the 7 years, Joel.
Beginning.
Not at the beginning of the 7 years. Yes, right in the middle. Right in the middle. Daniel 12:1 is talking about the last half of the 7 years. And when Satan comes down, that kicks off what period of time? What's that called in the Bible? There's a word for it. What is that called? Starts right in the middle of the 7 years. That's going to be used to purify the nation of Israel. Raise your hand quickly. Yes.
Tribulation.
Yes, thank you. That's called, listen to me, that's when the tribulation starts. It doesn't happen until halfway through the 7 years. That's the tribulation. What does tribulation mean? It's the persecution that God allows to come on the Jewish people to purify them. And the Bible says that that tribulation is going to go on where the Jewish Antichrist and the Roman beast force them to take a mark and to worship them. And if you don't worship them and take the mark of the beast, you will be hunted down, arrested, and killed. And the Jewish people in Israel especially will be hunted down, arrested, and killed if they don't take the mark. And so, you see, God will use that to purify them because some of the Jewish people won't take the mark of the beast. Some will. Many will. Most will. But wait a minute. Now listen. After the tribulation comes the day of the Lord's wrath, when God pours out His wrath on this earth during the second half of the 70th week, after He cuts the tribulation short with cosmic darkening in the sky, and then He pours out His wrath upon the earth, and part of the Jewish nation is going to go through both the tribulation and the day of the Lord's wrath, and that is going to be used to purify them. But wait a minute, how are they going to get purified? If it takes 3.5 years, listen to me, 3.5 years of purification, going through the tribulation, then going through what's called the day of the Lord, they have to go through that to get purified. What ultimately makes them pure? This is just preparing them to get pure. What makes them pure? It's very simple. How any of us get pure. Yes.
I'm taking another good guess. Jesus comes back.
He touches down in Jordan. They come out of hiding. And He leads them to Jerusalem. And when they see Him, they repent. They accept Him as their Savior. And their hearts are purified by faith. They have to go through tribulation. They have to go through the day of the Lord's wrath before they will accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. What did it take for you to accept Christ as your Savior? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior yet? If you haven't, then your heart is not purified, because only Christ's blood can cleanse you from your sin and give you eternal life and put you into heaven. And you need to be purified by faith in Christ. Yes.
Faith.
Yeah, faith in Jesus Christ. That's what does it. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you were made ready for heaven. And Israel has to go through the tribulation and the day of the Lord's wrath. Listen to me. During the last 3.5 years of these 7 years before they'll be purified. And here Daniel's wondering how long it's going to take before the nation of Israel gets saved. And God says in Daniel 9, it's going to be 490 years. But little did Daniel know that 483 of those years would be fulfilled. And then there would be a 2,000 plus year delay until the final 7 years. But listen, God is always right on schedule. Timing is everything, and God is right on schedule. Now, I'm almost done, but let me ask you this. According to the Bible, how many years have to be fulfilled while Israel is under their law and God is dealing with them? How many years, according to Daniel 9, have to be fulfilled before God can take the blindness away from Israel? Yes. 490 years. Did you hear that? 490 years. 483 of those years from the decree of 445 BC to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Christ was cut off on Palm Sunday when He went into Jerusalem. 483 of those years. 1 7-year time period is left. That time period will begin when Israel has the right to resume their temple sacrifices on the mount by a covenant with the Roman beast that will confirm the Mosaic covenant. Daniel 9. 27, and there will be 7 years now until Armageddon. From that point, halfway through those 7 years, though, that Jewish Antichrist will put an image or a statue of the Roman beast in the Holy of Holies, in the temple, in Jerusalem, and that will ignite the tribulation, and that will lead to God's judgment called the day of the Lord's wrath. And during that 3.5 years, God will purify the people and get them ready to accept Christ, whereby they'll be purified by faith in Christ and they'll be saved. Listen to me. What have we been talking about? Timing is everything. God is right on schedule. God does not miss a beat. And so you can know that there's something that's going to happen. And according to what we just said, what can you be looking for to happen before the tribulation? Before the Antichrist sets up this image of the beast? What over in Jerusalem can you expect to happen possibly in the near future? God's time is always right on time. When? I don't know. What year? I don't know. But what can you expect to happen, Joe?
You said it before, they're being allowed to worship on the mound, rebuild the temple.
There you go.
And whatever else comes in after that.
That's right. If there's going to be an image of the beast in the temple has to be rebuilt. If for the temple to be rebuilt, there has to be some kind of an agreement that allows Israel to do it, because Israel's going to depend upon, we know, the beast and the empire of the beast and an agreement that will allow them to do it. They're not going to act on their own. And so here we are. That's what we're looking for. Timing is everything. And when you see these things begin to happen, you will know that it's only 7 more years until Armageddon. And of course, Christ will come and rapture the church before the Lord's wrath. So sometimes during the second 3.5 years, God will cut short the tribulation, and we'll meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Timing is everything. Do you realize that you are living in the days when these things are now being understood, that you were meant by this prophecy, that even Daniel couldn't understand this the way you can understand it? Do you realize that? And yet Daniel was a better Christian than many of us, a better child of God than many of us. And we have more of the book than he had. He didn't have all the book of Revelation, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, everything we've got. The question is not how much knowledge you have, it's what are you doing with the knowledge that you have? And do you study to show yourself approved? Do you use this Bible and get to know this Bible and understand this Bible? And do you live in the light of this Bible? That is so important. And listen to me, very important. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Until you put your faith in Jesus Christ to take your sins away, you can never be saved. Your works will never save you. You're purified and prepared for heaven by putting your faith in a person called Jesus. And that's what this book is all about. Abraham met with Jesus. Daniel saw Jesus on that river, the Tigris River, with the two angels. The angels were talking to him. Jesus came in the fullness of time. He presented himself as the king, as the Messiah, but he was rejected. But the Bible says he's coming back again. And listen to me, I believe he could come back in our lifetime. I believe we could be living in the days just before Jesus Christ can come back, when knowledge is so increased that people all over the world are getting the teaching about Daniel and the teaching about Revelation. And this is where the truth is. It's not in Nostradamus. It's not in the traditions of the Church of Rome. It's not in false teachings of men. It is in the prophets of God, the Hebrew prophets in the Bible, the Old and New Testament. And this all comes together and it becomes very clear. I've been studying Bible prophecy, listen to me, for 40 years. For 40 years, I've been studying this stuff. And I'm going to tell you, it is exciting, because I believe I could be the generation that sees these things come to pass. I'm talking about the 70th week of Daniel. That 1 7-year period that 2,500 years ago God said to Daniel, you won't understand that until the end, because timing is everything. But this is your time. What are you going to do with it? This is your opportunity to serve the Lord. What are you going to do with it? You have to make a decision. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to waste it? Or are you going to serve the Lord? Some of you, you've decided, I've decided to follow Jesus. Listen to me. If you're going to follow Jesus, you better get purified of watching that dirty TV. You better get purified of listening to that junky music. You better get purified of those friends, that old crowd that pulls you down and gets you into sin. You better get broken from any relationship that leads you into immorality, that leads you into sin. You better get right with God. By the way, you shouldn't date an unsaved person. Try to win them to the Lord. There's no missionary dating in the Bible. Don't get yourself caught in a snare, because listen, I've been caught in snares when I've disobeyed the Lord, and I couldn't get myself out of that snare until God gave me repentance to break me loose of that thing. And you can waste, listen to me, days and months and years of your life just because you've gotten in a snare and you've gotten away from the Lord. And tonight, I believe God is saying He wants us to be purified, so He can use us to serve Him. Timing is everything. We'll look at some more of this next time.